Well, good morning and happy new year to each of you this morning. I trust that you had a wonderful time spent with family and friends during this special time of year. I want to thank Pastor Corey for giving me this opportunity to be able to preach and more to share with you about what God has taught me, valuable truths that God has taught me through some of the toughest months that I have faced in my life. In Psalms chapter 107, we see a beautiful painting, I believe, of what the psalmist David, he had portrayed. And you can turn to Psalms chapter 107, and we'll be looking at verses 23 through to 31. If you're using the Pew Bible in front of you, you'll find it on page 432, and you're welcome to use that if you need. In Psalms chapter 107, starting in verse 23, we read, "Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our way. I thank you that your word will not return void and that we can cling to the promises that are found in your word through the toughest of times. And God, I pray that you will use myself this morning to be able to be an open vessel that can be used by you to be able to speak to the discouraged hearts here this morning, that there would not be one discouraged heart here that would leave discouraged, and that each one would leave encouraged about who we serve, and that we do indeed serve a good God, a God who is worthy of our trust. I ask that you would use me, fill me with your spirit, to speak what you would have me speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, first of all, on the outset, I want to explain to you that this sermon may not be following the rules of preaching. My brother Shay told me that he had talked to a dear gentleman in our church, and he said, "There's nothing worse than not knowing what you're going to preach about on Saturday night." And to which this gentleman replied, he said, "Oh no, there is. Waking up on Sunday morning and not knowing what you're going to be preaching on." And in some ways, as I prepared over the last 3 days, as I've tried to follow and work within the rules of preaching, I believe that God just kept wanting me to just simplify it, to share my story. Because in the darkest months that I lived, God taught me the most valuable truths that in 20 years of an easy life, I didn't learn. In Psalm 107, it paints a beautiful picture of what I believe so many of us and what myself have gone through, where we feel like the waves and the storms that we are in are too much for us to bear, and they are used to bring us to our wit's end, as we see in this passage. Maybe you're here this morning, and you are burdened under a burden that really has brought you to your wit's end. And I want to encourage you that when you come to your wit's end, when you come to the end of yourself, you'll find someone there, and his name is Jesus. The title of message this morning, as I begin to share my testimony, and along with that, the title is Burdens That Break to Bless. Burdens That Break Us to Bless Us. Now, there was a commercial that was airing between the 80s and 90s that had a message that went along the lines of this: drugs, 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 which are good, which are bad? And in many ways, I believe that the same could be said of burdens. Burdens, 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 which are good, which are bad? I believe that every single one of us here this morning should be carrying a burden. I believe that God's word shows us that clearly. Now, to those of you who came burden-free this morning, this may not be the news you wanted to hear. But to those who are burdened, I want to encourage you that there is freedom to be found. In Galatians 5:1, we read that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. We need to take hold of the freedom that Christ died for. You see, so often I believe that we can be wasting our energy and wasting our strength carrying the wrong kind of burden. There are good burdens to carry, and there are also burdens that God does not desire for us to carry. He may have allowed these burdens into our lives, but he didn't want us to carry them. We see in Psalms chapter 55 and in verse 22, it says, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." In the New King James Version, it says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord." God desires for you to cast your burdens on the Lord. That might come in different forms. There's all kinds of shapes and forms of burdens. Some are heavier, some are lighter, but they all wear us down. They might come in the form of regret. They might come in the form of inadequacy. They might come in the form of horrible health or financial fright or ruined relationships. But regardless of the burden that you are carrying, we are to cast it down. We are to cast it upon the Lord because he cares for us. Now, if you were to ask me, as a 20-year-old, what my plans for the future were, I would have been able to tell you, unlike many young adults, I would have been able to tell you what my plans were. I could tell you who I was going to marry. I could tell you when we would get married. I could tell you where we would live when we got married. I could tell you where we would live 5 years and 10 years down the road. I could tell you what my career was going to be the coming fall, and I could tell you what my career was going to be in 5 years, and I could even tell you what my business ventures were going to be in 10 years. I could tell you all my other plans and dreams that went along with this, that I held close to my heart, that I strived after and wanted so badly. And yet God is in the business of surprising. He doesn't work well within our small-minded plans. And in the spring of 2015, he began to unravel and undo every single plan and desire that I held close to my heart. And he began stripping away one thing after another until I was left with nothing left in my hands. And often asking a question that started with a small little word, why? Why me? Why this? And it went on. In the middle of May in 2015, I was experiencing tremendous pain in my stomach to the point where I couldn't even walk. And I ended up, we were in Dauphin, Manitoba. We were doing some training there with the CF workers. And I knew I had to get home, and so I drove home and went to emergency after a day of being home and wasn't able to drink water any longer and couldn't sleep. And I went, Shay took me to emergency late at night, and within 24 hours of being in emergency, after getting various tests done, the news was, came back that I had been diagnosed with Crohn's disease. And this went on to turn my world upside down. And God began to continue to strip away, even when I felt like there was nothing left. He began to strip away. And I went on to spend over 30 days in the hospital over 12 months' time, over 4 different visits to emergency, in a repeating cycle of wondering when this was going to end. You'd be good for a couple weeks, and then your health would decline again. And you felt like you were completely, completely being depleted in your health. I lost up to 20 pounds at times, and now if you look at me, that's about half my weight. If I were to turn sideways, I would disappear. But God, he was so close. When I thought he was so far away, when I thought he had forgotten me, he was so close, so near to me. And I came to learn a valuable truth, and that brings me to my first point, is that there are burdens that break. Burdens that break. These burdens, I learned for so long, I was trying to gather all the broken pieces and continually try to hold them together, hold life together. But I couldn't. I couldn't get it together. And this made me feel incredible shame. After all, I'd grown up in church all my life. My parents and grandparents had been involved in ministry for years. I should be able to handle the circumstances that I'm facing. But I couldn't. And God taught me a valuable truth that these burdens that he allowed in my life, I wasn't supposed to be able to handle them. They were meant to break me. The burden that you are carrying this morning, if you came here burdened and discouraged and under the weight, tremendous weight, that is completely crushing you, I want you to know this morning that God doesn't expect you to be able to carry that burden. That is why he said, cast your burden on the Lord. These burdens were meant to break you. And it took me months and months and months to figure that out, because we have a funny tendency to try to hold everything together. We try to do everything on our own instead of giving the reins to God. I think when men go grocery shopping, maybe along with their wives or their mothers, it's amazing when it comes to loading groceries from the car or from the counter to the, after you pay for them, there can be 32 bags of heavy groceries, and what a man will do is he will continually gather the bags into one hand until he has 16 bags in this hand, and he'll pick up the rest of the remaining bags in this hand, and he will haul them out. No, it doesn't matter how many, because heaven forbid we take a second trip. Men don't take a second trip. And yet, how easy it would be to place those groceries into the cart and easily glide that cart across the parking lot to our car. Yet, no, we have to do it on our own. Yet, so often that is the case in our walk with Christ. We don't give God the reins, as if we think that we can handle everything better. But soon you will realize, after trying and trying and trying, as I did, that it doesn't work. You may get by a week, but it will not work. And yet in Psalms chapter 3 and in verse 5, David, he said, I lie down and sleep, and I wake again because the Lord sustains me. And for months, this was my theme verse, just to get by another day. You see, I had lost the ability to hope. I lost my joy. I didn't have anything to hope for. I was becoming completely numb. But these burdens are meant to break us. I think of the story of Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel in Genesis, using up all his strength, when then the angel touched the socket of his hip and he was crippled. And I believe that God was showing Jacob that he had to be dependent upon the Lord and lean on that staff, lean on the Lord. God may be breaking you for a purpose. You see, even if your burden was instigated by the devil himself, know that it had to be permitted by God himself. We see that in the story of Job. And if it was permitted by God himself, then I can tell you assuredly that there is a purpose for that burden that you are carrying. It is to break you. But it's not to leave you broken. Oh, there might be a time of brokenness for sure. But you see, A.W. Tozer, he put it in these words. He said, it is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. How true that is. No, these burdens, they're meant to break us, but there's a second step. See, once you've been broken, you come to a fork in the road. Because when you come to your wit's end, as we read about in Psalms 107, that storm was so great, they finally cried out to the Lord in their trouble. And they had come to their wit's end. You're going to come to a fork in the road, and you're going to have to make a decision. When you've exhausted everything, all your strength, you have to face Jesus. And you're going to have to decide if you're going to turn your face to God or turn your face away from God. And I pray that you'll bend the knee. My second point this morning is, there are burdens that bend. Burdens that make you bend the knee. They break you, but they're not to leave you broken. They're to break you, to bend you. Adrian Rogers used the illustration of a dog that was playing out in the water of the ocean. And his master was trying to get his dog to come back as he was going to leave, but the dog wouldn't come. He called and called and whistled, but the dog would not come. And so he threw a stick out into the water. The dog knew what to do. He picked up that stick, and he came out of the water, and he came to his master's feet, and he laid it at his master's feet. And God may be using the burden in your life to get you at his feet. He may have been trying in all kinds of different ways, but you have not listened. You have not had ears to hear until God had to completely break you in order to get you to come to his feet. Not standing up, but on your knees, broken. God's ways are not our ways. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, we read this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." Don't say that you're willing and then hand God the map of your life. On November 25th was when I reached this fork in the road. I'd exhausted all my strength. My joy was gone, my hope was gone, my faith was gone, and I was beginning to doubt the promises that I knew from God's word. And I came to a fork in the road. Was I going to bend the knee? Or was I going to turn my face away from God? But I knew either way, regardless, I had to get to the bottom of what was going on in my heart, because it was beginning to destroy me emotionally, physically, mentally. So, late at night, I went to South Elburn McDonald's, a very spiritual place. And I went there at 11 p.m. because it couldn't wait. I needed to figure out what was going on in my heart. And I didn't even have the energy to pray. After all, it had been weeks since I had spent time in God's word. If there's one thing I can encourage you to do, that no matter what you're facing, never accuse God of silence when you do not open his word. I would accuse God of being silent, accuse God of ruining my life, and yet I wouldn't even open his word, the very source by which he uses to speak to us. What a fool I was to accuse God of silence when I didn't even have ears to hear. On November 25th, without energy to pray, I knew I could write down in my journal, and I began to write. If my heart could speak, this is what was going on. I may have greeted you the Sunday before and been able to mask what was going on with a smile and a good morning, but inside my heart, I was crushed. And I want to read to you what I wrote. Not to put on a spotlight on myself, not to exaggerate what I went through, but this was the temperature of my heart, and I want to encourage those of you who could almost write the same. I wrote, "Today is one of many days when I have felt overwhelmingly without joy. depressed with no hope, no matter the amount of encouragement from others, no matter the amount of prayers prayed. I have been an empty cup with a hole in the bottom of it. I'm broken. I hardly have the energy to even carry on conversation. Adrian Rogers spoke on a broken spirit, and I realized that's what I have. I'm literally being destroyed physically, spiritually, and emotionally, becoming numb. Many days I feel as if I can't feel. I don't know if Satan even needs to do anything nowadays. I'm my own worst enemy. I need Jesus. I need my Father. Feeling like I have nothing to offer the Lord, I'm broken, a bunch of scattered pieces. I only pray He'll take what's left to glorify Him. I feel like everything has been stripped away. My health, my ability to work, my money, friends, my loved one, a girl I thought for sure I would marry. I find it so hard to dream, so hard to hope for a better life than what I've come to know. I've lost my confidence, feeling like I'm past my prime spiritually. I've been a fool. A million other people could have been placed in my shoes, and easily I've walked 10 times the mile I've walked with such a better heart attitude, and now I only pray it's not too late. I don't want to live an ordinary life, whatever that means. Maybe this has all been a part of not being normal. Lord, I could go on and on about my struggles and hurts, but now all I ask is to receive me back tonight. I don't want this to carry on. Transform me, renew me, restore me, revive me. Save me from the grip of the devil himself. Use me even tonight. May I be found faithful. May others look up to me as a man after your heart, fearless with fervent passion and drive. Please, Lord, guide me. Show me your task for me. I came to a fork in the road. I came to my wit's end, and I had to make a decision if I was going to bend the knee. I'm telling you, you'll never regret bending the knee. You'll never regret bending that knee. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance a race that is marked out for us." We need to throw off those burdens. We need to bend the knee and lay down that burden at the feet of Jesus, to the very one who is our burden bearer. It's amazing how we can hold on to burdens. It's as if it's our greatest possession. We hold it so close and hold so dear, even though it is the very thing that is breaking us and crushing us. When God is just pleading with us to lay it down at his feet, "Give it to me. I can do this. I can carry your burden." And you focus on the race that I've set before you, because I'm telling you, when you're busy carrying your own burdens, you have no time to focus on the race that is set before you. But I'm telling you, when you bend your knee, brings me to my final point, is that that burden will become a blessing. Burdens that bless. Psalms chapter 71. Verse 20, beginning in 20 through to 22, it says, "Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, hope, a holy one, of O Holy One of Israel." When you bend your knee, you experience the blessing. And I'm telling you, you have a song to sing. You can sing, "Great is thy faithfulness," and you can mean it. God is good. And you can mean that. Burdens that bless. They're not only going to bless yourself, they are going to bless the Lord. It is going to be a testimony of the Lord's faithfulness that is going to be honoring and glorifying to the Lord. But they are going to bless yourself. I'm telling you, I wouldn't trade those 10 hardest months for anything. Because I realized only after I'd gotten through those how near Jesus was. He was there beside my hospital bed when there was no one there. Even though I didn't have energy to utter a word, he heard the cries of my heart. And yet, oh, what a blessing it is to taste and see that the Lord is good, to know what His grace means when you are so undeserving. Not only are you will you be blessed yourself, but you will bless others. When I finally bent that knee and I began sharing with people in vulnerability what I was struggling with, it was amazing to me to realize how many people are broken. There's one thing we all have in common: we're broken people. But oh, what a joy it is to be able to share with people, even amidst your struggle, that God is good. Now, I'm still preaching to you this morning. I'm not saying that God is going to deliver you from all your problems when you bend your knee and give Him your burden. He may not take away everything in your life that you're struggling with. I'm preaching this morning, not cured from Crohn's. I still have Crohn's disease. But I have a song to sing. God has been faithful. He has been good. And when you have tasted that, you so badly want people to see that, to realize the goodness of God. When you cast down your burden, as I said, burdens, 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 which are good, which are bad. When you cast down those burdens that are breaking you, I think all too often we can carry that burden longer than God intended. He may have given us that burden, but He didn't intend for us to carry it that long. We need to cast that down when it has broken us. And then we need to pick up the burdens that God does want us to carry. Do you have a burden for the lost? When I was carrying my own burden, I didn't have time to have a burden for the lost. Too worried about my own problems. When people needed prayer, I'm telling you, when I was so worried and so distraught by my own problems, I didn't have time or energy to pray for anyone else but myself, if I was going to pray at all. In Galatians 6:2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. When I was in the hospital, you have lots of time staring at your Jell-O. But as I was reading messages and different things that friends and family had sent me, I was amazed with just how blessed I was. And I was curious, and I was amazed at how many people were praying for me. So I thought, do you know what, I'm going to write down the name of every single person that has told me they're praying for me, messaged me they're praying for me, texted me, called me, visited me. And in my journal, my pen didn't stop to breathe until there was 250 names written in my journal of those that told me they're praying for me. The names that are in my journal are those who picked up that burden and were carrying each other's burden and fulfilling the law of Christ. And I want to encourage you that your prayers do work. Many of your names are written in my journal because you stood by me and were praying for me. If you're not carrying a burden this morning, I encourage you, as one that was so blessed by those who helped me pick up my burden when often I was so selfish, yet reaching out to me, look around you this morning. There are people that are burdened. Ask people how they're doing. My grandma Durston, who is here this morning, she'll always ask, how are you doing? I say, oh, I'm doing good. I should say, how are you really doing? That would often get me to crack. How are you really doing? I think that's a question we need to be asking our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Because often, it doesn't match what we see on the outside. I want to encourage you this morning to exchange your burden for a blessing. As we look ahead at another year, as it's been said, 2016 may have been a hard year for you, may have been a year of joy. But regardless, I challenge you this morning to start this year off right. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Take hold of that. But you know what? There's a greater burden. You might be here this morning and you have never taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm sorry to say, but you are carrying a burden that is far greater than anyone here in this sanctuary. That is the burden of sin. In Romans 3:23, we read, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And later in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. How long are you going to hang on to that burden? That burden has the ability to completely separate you from God for eternity. It has the power to do so. But just like all of us, God wants you to cast that burden down. Jesus paid the price for that burden that you are carrying, that burden of sin, and he no longer wants you to pay the price that he already paid. Humble yourselves. You're not looking around at a bunch of perfect people in this sanctuary. You're looking around at a bunch of broken people who have been blessed by what Jesus did on the cross. I want to invite Shay and the worship team to... I guess Shay, to come up this morning. And I want to provide an opportunity for you to be able to start this year right. You might be here this morning completely broken from different burdens such as financial fright or horrible health. Ruined relationships, whatever the burden is, let go of it and place it at Jesus' feet. And I want to provide you an opportunity. If you have a burden that you've been carrying that has been completely breaking you, I encourage you to come up to the front and settle that with the Lord. Give that burden to him. Give it to the one who is worthy and who is able to carry it. An experience of freedom that Christ has set us free. But to those of you who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to do so today. Do not wait. Come to Jesus, the one who is able to save you. You can say a prayer as simple as this. Dear Jesus, I know that I have sinned. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins and that he rose again. And I thank you for dying for me. I ask you to save me. Forgive me for my sin, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me and help. Create in me a new spirit. Make me a new being. He wants to save you, and in the authority of God's word, he will save you if you call out to him. So we're going to be singing one last song, and as we sing, if you have a burden that you're carrying, I encourage you to come and settle with the Lord. Do not go out those doors discouraged, and you'll be so glad that you didn't.